14 minutes to the hour of 11 o'clock. Give it a few more years and the TV programme Friends is going to become the most successful TV series of all time, even though it started 20 years ago and evolved into a huge thing. It ended 10 years ago. It's the show that keeps on giving, and worldwide you could argue that it's more popular now than ever. That's thanks to the old audience rewatching it and a brand new audience coming to all 236 episodes for the very first time. It regularly tops all sorts of TV personality and popularity charts. It's repeatedly sort of won all the big TV awards, etc. And seemingly from the word go, it made stars of the six main lead actors and subsequently multi-millionaires of all of them. By the last couple of series, they were all getting $1 million an episode, and some reports suggest that back-end deals means that they're all raking in more millions over the past 10 years and in the 10 years of actually making the programmes. And one of the most important facts about the programme is that they genuinely did become the best of friends in real life. I'm talking David Schwimmer, Matt LeBlanc, Matthew Perry, Lisa Kudrow, Courtney Cox, Jennifer Aniston, in other words, Ross, Joey, Chandler, Phoebe, Monica and Rachel. Martha Kaufman is the creator, writer and executive the producer of Friends, in other words, the woman responsible for the most successful TV show in history. And she's on the line now. It's now about 2 weeks, Martha, since you celebrated 20 years of Friends. Did you open a few bottles of champagne?
No. Maisie, how are you?
I'm great. I
opened a couple things of coffee.
Right, okay.
No, I didn't really, because for us, you know, the celebration wasn't about the beginning or the end. It was sort of the whole thing. So it didn't feel it served to only make me feel old, more than actually like I had to find a party to go to.
Right. Okay. Well, listen. Let's just take a look, because, like, you know, what makes it great, the program Friends, is everything from the writing to the chemistry. But what made it different at the time? Like, NBC wanted an older character in the cast. Was it a case that you had to stick to your beliefs and kind of left it with the six leads and that's it?
You know, our feeling was, if the stories were universal enough and if you loved the characters, that you didn't need an older character to bring in an older audience. And that ended up being true, thankfully. We could have been just as easily wrong. I also think that part of what separated it from other shows was its warmth. It was a very loving show in its way, you know,
and
as opposed to Seinfeld, which was hilariously funny, but they didn't do a lot of hugging.
Right, exactly. And also, even though young people watched Cheers and Seinfeld, they didn't see their own lives in those programs. Was that one of the differences with Friends?
I think it was more that they wanted those six characters to walk into their homes. You know, they wanted to be friends with them. They wanted to be part of that. And I think because we've all been through that time in your life when your friends are your family, when you're just starting out on your life, everybody remembered what that time was like.
Exactly. And by the way, do you remember what that time was like in terms of drawing from your experience in New York with David Crane?
Well, I have a vague memory now. It was so long ago, but yes, when we were doing the show, we definitely had a strong memory. Although even then, we were the oldest people on the show and felt like anthropologists more than, you know, people
okay.
who really had,
like,
been through it.
A word you used earlier on there was warmth. I mean, there was something about Friends that almost from the word go, you saw when these people sat down who didn't know each other, they just seemed to click. Did you instantly notice that people actually cared about the characters? Because the heart the program, let's just say the program always had heart.
Thank you. That was our hope. And we didn't really know. Look, we were so busy doing the show for so much of the year. It wasn't until the first season was over, and I remember I was wearing a Friends cap one day on the street, and someone stopped me to ask me what was going to happen to Ross and Rachel. And that's when I realized that people were invested in the characters and cared about the characters. But up to that point, I was working too hard to notice.
Well, then, just on the Ross and Rachel, in terms of the very end of the series, it's important to sign off properly on a final episode. Did you start with this? We have to get Ross and Rachel together and then take it from there. And that actual getting them together was the journey, the most important part, not that they got together.
Correct. I mean, there was no doubt they had to get together. The whole series was leading towards that. And we just had to do it in a way that felt surprising. I don't think it would have been satisfying had they not ended up together.
Right, in one way, it was like having to create something expected in an unexpected way.
Exactly, exactly. That was the job.
Okay, now, who or what tells you what to do? After a while, is it the fans or is it the show itself or is it your own brain still working on it?
You know, there comes, that's a very interesting question. There comes a point where the show starts to tell you what it wants.
Yeah.
And you, you know, it's a little bit like you raise a child and then there comes a point and that child becomes independent even though you have some influence over it. That's kind of what it feels like. The show grows up and starts to have its own needs. I mean, there were things that we learned about this show that I wouldn't do on other shows because that's what this show wanted. You know, basic rules of dramaturgy. Don't, you know, always show the drama. But in the case of Friends, it was more fun when the six of them talked about it rather than us seeing it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, there were lessons we had to learn. Getting Monica and Chandler together, that was something that we had no idea was going to become serious. We thought it was just a thing, like a one-night thing. And then it was a combination of how the audience response was and also how many stories it gave us.
Also, like when you say you didn't know, I mean, the first 10 years you were so busy making it, you were making it. In the last 10 years, when you've had a chance to look at what it's done and what it did for the first 10 years, are you just amazed at the kind of level of interest there is in Friends now? I mean, Friends, I'll give you a perfect example. Just across the water here in the UK, Central Comedy, or Comedy Central is the name of the station, it's now streaming Friends. The head guy there says that every 4 years, there's a new audience, a new generation. Have you found that?
It's funny. I have three children. My youngest is 15, and she was too young when we were doing the show to get it. Now she's watching it, and her friends are discovering it, and that's pretty awesome. You know, I'm so incredibly honored and flattered to be one of those shows that people still talk about. I don't know that I can even describe the feeling of being part of something like that. It's just a great honor.
But Martha, it's not one of those shows that people talk about. It is the show that people talk about. And my point is that with the 10 years I've just mentioned there, it strikes me there's going to be another 10. I've got an 11-year-old. It's never off in our house.
I'm happy to hear that. I'm very happy to hear that. I apologize, but I'm very happy to hear it.
Okay, just as a matter of interest, your past theatrical writing, did your theatrical experience, everything you did there, did it help with the TV writing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because it was like putting on a little play every week. You know, we had a live audience, we listened to the audience, and even though we were filming it, it felt like putting on a play because of the live audience.
And what did it mean to have a live audience? Did that mean that, like, if they didn't laugh enough, then out went the joke?
90% of the time, if they didn't laugh enough, we rewrote the joke on the spot.
Right.
Yes, but there was actually one night, and only one night. It was a very cold, rainy night. We were shooting an episode. It was also it was election night, and the elections were not going in a happy direction for the audience, clearly, because the audience laughed at nothing. It was the only time in 10 years they literally laughed at nothing. And it was the only time that David and I looked at each other and said, we can't listen to the audience tonight.
Right, okay, point taken. Yeah, I mean, like, the internet grew at the same time as Friends. Attention on the characters was absolutely relentless. Do you just have to sit back and watch like all of us? I mean, Matthew Perry once said, by season 3 we were jerks, by season 6 we were cool again. Like, you had no control over the way it was being sort of viewed and just how many were looking at it and just what they were thinking about it.
No, we did have no control. It was, you know, it sort of took off in its own way, in its own sort of, it found its place in the pop culture world of television, and people found it. And then, yeah, we had no control over how people felt about where it was going or what we did. The only thing we had control over was a stupid Diet Coke commercial that we did that didn't end up serving us well. But beyond that, we had a job to do. We had 24 episodes to do every year. So the outside world's attention is not something that we really were a part of. The actors were more a part of that. You know, we didn't get stopped in airports or anything.
Yeah.
So as writers, we were just looking at it from a distance, going, oh, that's kind of cool.
Just what about that? I mean, after season three, it all changed in so many ways, and we've kept reading about stuff on the internet and in the papers. All six cast members secured $1 million per episode and all that. To you, was that perfectly understandable, or was it difficult? And do you get involved in negotiations, you know, hammering out small print, residuals, royalties, or do you stay well away from that?
We did get involved in it. It was very important to us that the cast, each they have parity, that everybody is treated was treated the same way. And, you know, they deserved every penny, honestly. They made a lot of money for the studio and for the network. And a huge, huge part of it was who they were as actors. So I felt they deserved it. It's not that it wasn't tense, but they did deserve it.
And what about after season five? The program went into syndication. Now, just exactly what does that mean? I mean, all over the world, in other words, because it's on TV or whatever. Does that, like, how big does that make the program? Do you try and kind of sit down sometimes and say, if we can reach syndication, we're laughing? Is that the way you look at it?
Well, if you reach syndication, it just means that what that is more than anything is about residuals for the actors and the writers, and it gets, it goes on to that constant, every night at 11 o'clock it's on, or every night at 7 p.m. it's on, and whatever, you know, stations are carrying it. And it means a lot to the writers financially, but it also means that it's getting out there in a way, and it's what you were talking about before. It's, you know, the people who didn't catch it the first time around now get an opportunity to see it. I have many friends who are my age, which is, believe me, not young, who are just seeing the show now.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
They were busy back then.
And do the actors, like, were you a kind of a mother figure at all in any way as it was all growing up through season one to two to three?
Yeah, that's what they called me, Mama Marta. That was me.
Yeah, right. I'd say you probably were. All right.
I tend to end up in that position.
And the reassuring message of the program, is it just that it's about friends, they'll be there for you, to quote the song?
You know, yes. The whole point of it was about that time in your life when your friends are your family and that they are there no matter what. They are the ones you rely on, especially as, you know, at this point in your life when you're carving out your own identity separate from your families, these are the most important people because they're the ones who are reflecting that identity. So, the message being not only that they're going to be there for you, but what an incredible time of life that is.
Exactly, but also for the program itself that you were putting together. Like, what advice would you give to people about writing for TV in a situation like that? One of the first things would be realize you should use as few words as possible.
The way for television, you know, people watch TV in new kinds of ways now, but it comes into their homes. And, you know, sometimes you're in bed naked watching TV. It's a very intimate experience. Mm-hmm. So my advice to people is to write what you care about. Write what you care about, because that's the only way that you can really stay with a show for a long time, is if it's something that you are completely invested and in love in and in love with.
Well, this is what you were in the early days, because, like, you knew that friends push each other's buttons, they even tear into each other, but they need each other, they love each other. Were you delighted that, you know, but not necessarily surprised, that the concept that you had, it worked from the word go? This was not a slow build.
I think delighted is the correct word. Yes, we were very delighted. When we had our very first rehearsal with the entire cast, and in the first scene where we saw all six of them on stage together, I remember getting chills up my spine and thinking, wow, this group is something really special. And that, in fact, turned out to be true. So for me, that was actually the first moment where I thought, we've got something here.
And some of the actors definitely coped better down through the years than others. Were you there for Matthew Perry when he had his hard times?
Oh, of course. Of course. We did everything we could. We gave him, you know, time that he needed for treatment. He's truthfully, Matthew was one of my favorite people in the world. I adore him, and he went through a hard time, as many people do. And he's thankfully doing really well.
Yeah, so I believe. Well, before I ask one question, just finally about what you're doing now, just to go back to one thing, that like one of the most important things about friends is the fact is something that you don't really have any control over as such, unless you until you put the six guys together, six people together in the room. Like the glances, the nods, the individual quirks, you can't script those. The extra ingredient that makes it much more than just comedy gold.
Well, you know, those glances and things are, that's what you hope to get from the actors, that they take your words and they elevate them. You know, once an actor breathes life into your words, it becomes something else. You don't own it anymore. And then it's up to what humanity they bring to the roles.
Right, exactly.
And they brought a lot of it.
Indeed. By the way, just as a matter of interest, there's figures out there about Seinfeld is the most lucrative TV show ever. Friends is going to catch up on that, so it will be the most lucrative TV show ever. And that's me predicting with my crystal ball here in front of me. Are you happy about that, Martha?
Who would not be happy about that?
Indeed. Okay, listen, there was never going to be a spin-off with Friends, right? Did you ever even allow yourself the thought of a reunion and just what that would mean in terms of front page headlines and the broadsheets, let alone 20 pages inside?
No, never. Never. No, because, you know, once, if the show was in fact, as we believe, about that time in your life when your friends are your family, it's no longer that time in their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
They have their own families. The show doesn't need to exist anymore. And I think it's better, I think it would just be sad and it would make you long for the old days rather than be satisfying.
And might that be one of the reasons you did Call Me Crazy, which is the five-part exploration of mental illness? I mean, did you deliberately want to do something very different to Friends?
I did. I did that and one about breast cancer also. And those were really important for me. I really wanted to dig deeper and go into things that were more of a combination of comedy and drama, which is what we're doing. You know, we're doing a new show for Netflix also, which is also a combination of comedy and drama.
Is that Grace and Frankie?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so Grace and Frankie with Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, Martin Sheen, Sam Worthington. I mean, you're really up there. You're basically in the world now of senior citizens, a lot older than Friends. Is it working out well? Is it difficult?
It is working out well. I love the show. I love these actors. It is definitely more difficult. It's a different process. I don't think it, you know, part of it has to do with just not only the subject matter, but the approach we're taking to the production. When you go from 0 to 13 episodes, it's a big trajectory.
And when might we see that?
I believe it'll be late spring, early summer.
Late spring, early summer of 2015.
Correct.
Okay, well, Martha, listen, onwards and upwards, and thank you so much for talking to us. And say hello to Pat Hanley for me, will you?
I sure will. You got it. All
thanks,
right,
Martha. Good luck. See you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Live across.